doing this short-sighted thing for how many years?
Oh, well.
It's like what?
1776.
If it's expedient, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's expedient, if it's cheap, if particularly what's really good, if it's expedient and I can somehow or other control it, that gives me control over other people. And, oh, boy, that's the best of all.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you see the world today, too.
And
the short-sightedness, it trickles. It's obviously trickled down to everybody because everything is go, 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 go,
and
go, go.
It breaks
now.
Every
go,
moral
go, go.
Code. It breaks the golden rule itself, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. It breaks every moral
why
code.
Why do you think, I mentioned it earlier, but why do you think Michigan, the Motor City, right?
Vroom, 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 car, right? Faster,
why,
faster, faster.
Why do you think that we're on the road and the people get shot on the freeway now because we're in such a goddamn hurry to get where we're going just so we're not late for work.
Right.
Oh, my God. If I'm late for work 1 minute, they're going to put me on early notice or whatever it is, and they're going to put me on a performance improvement plan and all these things and for 4 months, which is a very short, short, short vision right there if you ask me.
So,
right.
So we're hurrying up to go and continue the downward spiral just that much faster.
That's what's happening right now. And you know, I was so encouraged to see the air car come out.
Yes.
And I was so laughing at the things that people are saying against it, you know.
What argument can you have against this?
The biggest one is that you're just transferring the pollution from, because what the air car emits is cold air.
Yeah. Ooh, God, that's bad.
Cold air.
Some people, it's good on their sinuses, like myself.
Right. But what happens is instead of pollution, but they're saying that the pollution, instead of happening at the car, at each car, is happening at the coal plant.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the air car people are saying that's only if you have a coal plant.
Yeah.
If you're short sighted enough to not have a coal plant instead of a clean energy plant, well, that's your own fault. And I don't blame them. I think they're right in their stance.
They are.
The air car
people
are correct.
I agree.
They're doing it right. And if people get these air cars and are concerned about the coal plant, that they'll try and get their local energy producer to use clean energy, and that would clean up this world a heck of a lot pretty quickly.
And windmills are so much prettier than smokestacks.
I agree.
I love windmills. Mark, you've seen windmills, obviously. You know what they look like. They're beautiful.
Have you ever been out around Palm Springs, California, and seen all the windmills out
there?
Yes,
I have. I'm proud to say I have, and they are absolutely astounding.
There's so many of them out there.
Mm-hmm. I never saw the ones in California, but I saw the ones in, there's some in, like, I think it's Wisconsin or Illinois Northern, you know, somewhere in that, join that.
Yep.
And they're
going all the time.
They're so elegant, and they're producing energy for the local communities. And I think that's a lot better than looking at a
smokestack.
Or a huge nuclear reactor in the shape of ironically, a nuclear reactor is in the shape of a timer that you turn over, a sand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
An hourglass, just like, how much time do you have left before the thing blows?
Boy, isn't that symbolic?
Like, yeah, that's really symbolic.
Well, you got me angry, Mark. You did this the last show, too. You got me fired up.
Oh, we get you fired up.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, I feel good about that, because this is all real. This is what's going on right now. I mean, if you want to think short-term, go ahead. Right now, this is what's happening.
This whole thing is coming crashing down around our heads because we are short-sighted and because we're unwilling to take responsibility. You know, and it's not finding somebody in the government to take responsibility. It's individuals finding responsibility, you know, in themselves, finding ways to do things. You can't wait till some politician makes up his mind that it's going to help him get reelected to do these things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are things. I mean, the things we're talking about are things that I've been thinking about very, very deep for like the last year and a half. And there are, I mean, like my last automobile purchase, for example, gentlemen, right? Yeah, my new car, okay. I thought about it and said, you know what? I really could use a truck. It would be much more useful for me to get a big old van or a big old truck. But, okay, fine. You know, I mean,
For the few times that you could actually use the thing. Having an energy efficient car was much more.
So I bought a little car. And people were like, man, you're a big dude, man. You need a big truck with big wheels and big, you know, metal parts everywhere and chrome and all that stuff and smokestacks coming off of it.
Unfortunately,
with a big rebel flag hanging out the back of the
American dream.
Yeah, right.
If you can't show it on MuscleCars.com, yeah. I don't want it. Yeah.
So I went and picked up this little car and said, hey, you know what? This thing's easy on gas. It's easier on the environment. You know, those are two good things to me. Unfortunately, I'm still locked in the rat race like everybody else is too. So I am driving a car.
Well, you have to nowadays.
But I'm doing my thing. I'm trying to do the best I can. If I had it my way, I would. I mean, they had them on a lot. Those little mini cars.
Oh, aren't those
the minis?
Cute?
The little minis. I mean, if I could do that, I would have bought one of those. Unfortunately, you know, politics involved with that, I could not do it. I want, in my opinion, smaller the better. Because it is easier on the environment.
Well, I have a tiny little car and it works great.
Well, but yeah, so. Yeah. Doug is the shining beacon of reason here when it comes to cars because you drive the thing till it, well, it don't
it,
die.
It
I don't
doesn't
know what's
die. My car's a really cool car.
You put some type of black magic on the thing and you drive, I think. And, the car
and I get
God.
Great gas mileage, but I'm still hoping I can get an air car.
Yeah, someday I would.
I want one that runs on air.
Exactly.
I do. That's what I want.
And these aren't.
Why are we talking about energy?
Because it ties in.
Well, it does.
But, Mark,
we took your conversation to a whole other level. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, you're doing great.
Oh, cool.
Well, thanks, Mark. I mean, these are the things, though. I mean, this is taking responsibility, though. It really is, I mean, to a certain degree.
Responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it's all about.
I mean, and that's what more people need to do. And the problem I see is that, especially here in Michigan, we already mentioned this a minute ago, we are the Motor City. So it's easier to get car, you know, the biggest and the best around here, and it seems every single year they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And on the roads here,
instead of the opposite,
they should be getting smaller.
They should be getting smaller, like in Europe.
We should be riding around these little mini go-karts to work right now. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that the price of oil, see, has not come up very far yet.
Mm-hmm.
On a comparative basis, you know, that we're talking about $50 a barrel oil. Well, on an inflation-adjusted basis, that is not nearly as high as it was back in the 80s when we had the last energy crisis. And remember, everybody was forced into smaller vehicles because the price of gasoline just went through the roof.
And there were gas lines.
Well,
and
you know,
everybody...
now it got all the way up to $2. Well, on an inflation-adjusted basis, that isn't anywhere near what it was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And the only way that it's going to happen is for the price of oil to go up. But now, what are we doing? We're over fighting in the Middle East to go and secure the oil for this country.
Right.
You know, but, okay, another short-sighted thing. What about all the other people in the world that like to have a little oil?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're going to make sure that we get our oil. You know, we're going to make sure we get ours before anybody else gets theirs.
And that is a completely, it's a selfish idea, too.
The energy crisis itself, I'm glad you brought that up, because that had to have been like a warning shot across the bow, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, dudes, you've got to do something. Mm-hmm. What's been done since then?
Nothing. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing has happened. Nothing's changed.
And it's disgusting. I mean, what does it take... to get you to not you, but I mean to get people.
I didn't do anything, Doug.
To get people to decide there's something going on. We've got to do something differently because this ain't going to work out for much longer. That was in the 80s. So you're talking 25 years.
No, now we released H2. I hate to jump on the H2 again, but now we've put out the biggest and most ridiculous block of an automobile, completely backwards engineered. Mark.
Yes.
You drive a car, right?
That's right.
Okay, you do.
Do you drive an H2?
Do you drive an H2?
I don't have an H2.
Thank
let
you.
Me say it. I wouldn't have one of those.
No. They get like 6 miles to the gallon or something.
Can you verify this for me for a second? That, you know, I thought...
place.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that, Mark?
There's no place to park them.
Well, that,
right.
That is just one of the things. But
okay, if you go to the shopping center, you take up two parking places. That's okay. I mean, the philosophy here is that, hey, if I've got the money... I can go and do whatever I damn well please with it.
Yeah.
See, and there's the fundamental problem, is we think that, you know, because we think we're in charge of this, and it really doesn't matter what happens to other people, we are not thinking like the people next door are brothers and sisters. No, it's like, I got mine, and I can go and do now whatever has to be done for me.
Well, that's a stunning example of materialism right there. I got the money. I'm going to tell people I got the money. Look at me. And I don't care what your problems are over there, and I don't care if this is going to affect you negatively either. It don't matter to me.
And if I need two parking places in the parking lot, I'm going to take two parking places.
Well, this is getting completely insane, but I got to get it out. I thought the philosophy of technology and the automobile industry was to create cars that were more aerodynamic, that were easier on the environment. That's what they all talk about. That's what I read from their pamphlets they put out every year. And all of a sudden, I see this block rolling down the road on four wheels that is completely backwards engineered. It has no aerodynamic ability whatsoever. It gets 10 miles to the gallon freeway.
Oh, 10 on the freeway.
Okay. Where does this make any sense whatsoever?
It doesn't.
Well, it doesn't. Okay. I can't come back to my question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is all of this irrationality, is it possible that we're doing this all to ourselves? Is that possible?
Well, I'm not doing it to my
so screwed
no,
up
I'm
as
not.
A species that all we're doing is looking out for ourselves.
I think independently, people can do the right. People try to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But then, as a society, all that stuff goes out the window because you've got to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, yeah. There's a correlation. There's a push pull.
Well, it's the system, right?
Yeah. It's the whole system.
Yeah.
It's society. It's a societal, a black mark on society, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
because individually, I think I do the right things.
I do.
I try to.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, it's tough to say. I think it's a societal thing. It's not an individual thing.
But an individual thing, though.
We just
got done talking about this.
Made up of individual choices.
Exactly. I got mine, and I'm an individual, and I'm the man. And I'm going to drive this big old honking truck around and show off. That's one person doing that.
No, that's one person keeping up with the Joneses.
Okay, it ties together then.
Because you wouldn't have to have this big old truck with this, you know, that takes, you know, how many gallons per mile and stuff like that in order if you didn't need or want to impress somebody else who already had one of those big old trucks, you know, or try and be bigger,
yeah.
Badder, better.
Exactly.
You want to keep up with the Joneses or surpass them if you've got the money.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. That's really important.
So it's a society thing,
well,
even though you made an individual.
What does this have
choice.
To do with extraterrestrials?
Good question.
It has a lot to do. It started with the comment I made about
why
our
are they here?
Why are they here?
Yeah.
And that's how complicated it is right there. It's amazing to me.
They're looking at us from, you know, a billion miles away, and they're saying, oh, you guys are screwing this up. You know, they're looking at our, for instance, they look at the fact that the polar ice cap is melting at 10 times the historical rate. They're looking at the fact that the Earth is the warmest it has been in 2,000 years. 2,000 years. This is the warmest it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, huh, I wonder what's causing that. Then they look a little closer and they find out that we're burning all the hydrocarbons. All right, and that is causing this thing called global warming, which now every other country in the world understands that's what's going on. I mean, they've all now, all the other countries signed up finally to the Kyoto Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Russia came in. All right, but we decided we weren't going to do that.
Not the U.S. No.
Okay. So we've got the ETs are looking at this and they're saying, "What are you doing to yourselves?"
The ideology. I mean, this may be completely out there to ask you, but the ideology of the ETs—it's obviously a long-term thinking. They obviously think way farther ahead than we ever have imagined to do something.
Right, they understand that everything's interrelated,
mm-hmm.
not only society-wise, political-wise, individual unit-wise,
yeah.
but also globally and then also universally.
But what amazes me, though, too, to think about this, is that an organization comes together to create an automobile, for example. And it's always astounded me that you know, man, regardless of our faults, of things that we're talking about right now, man has really done some amazing things. Because people neglect their automobiles sometimes. They don't realize the complicated aspect of creating this machine that can keep your feet warm, take you to work, play music for you, right? Do all these little things, right? Make it easier to steer with a power steering. All these mechanics that come together to form this product. It is now. It's a product. How complicated it is to do something like this.
Well, we have done all this complicated stuff.
Yeah.
But what we can't seem to get right is the way in which we relate to each other. You know, we're mechanical, electronic, biochemical geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
But our technology is, I mean, the first thing we do with all the new technology is we try to make an armament out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And after we get, you know, after we take it to the extreme there, then we go and try to make it into a toy that we can go and buy, and whoever's got the most money can buy the biggest toys.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that we do have this mechanical genius about us, and we understand the mechanics of something. Though, you know, well, I mean, you talked about the mechanic in a garage. Okay, well, if you put that there over about, you know, a year, it's going to be worn out. Because of that, the friction right there, that little bit of friction that you won't even notice, but that'll wear out. They can look that far ahead, which isn't that far ahead, mind you, but they can see that. Why can't they understand the mechanics of what's going on outside of this planet? Why can't we see that? Why can't we look out as opposed to having people look in and tell us this?
Well, we're forbidden the knowledge of it.
Here's my answer to that.
Okay.
There is a power play going on. And the reason we don't look out is that we have been told from generations back that, no, don't look out there, guys. You know, and this is in these books, Trillion and Decimal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to, we have this little box that we have defined for you. And the box says, you get up, you go to work, you make the money, you buy the beer, you watch the TV, you take advantage of all these little gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you looking too far out there. Because if you look too far out there, then that kind of blows this scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
And us people that are in control here, the ones that are on the top of the heap, the ones that are raking in the big bucks,
mm-hmm.
ones that are, you know, in a position of power to make things happen their way,
mm-hmm.
They want this to continue because this is a good deal they got going.
Do you think these toys that we're talking about, I mean, I'm thinking about all these things, though. Do you think these toys, like the TV, okay, specifically, were created for a reason? Do you think they were created for that reason that you're talking about, to keep you in that
little
box?
I don't know if originally they were created.
Maybe not originally, but then they saw, hey, you know,
they saw this market potential, and then of course, Pete, there are obvious, there's characters right in Decimal and Trillion,
mm-hmm.
That then grasped control, complete and utter control over the communication medium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, it's like the internet, okay? The internet was originally, you know, put together to transfer information between government agencies, and then somebody came up with a great idea. Well, we'll open this up and let everybody have free exchange of information back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been decided that, you know, hey, there might be some information there on the internet that maybe that's not too good, and we better start keeping real close track of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the internet is monitored. Every email,
mm-hmm.
every search, everything like that is very carefully monitored to make sure it's in conformity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an example of wonderful technology, wonderful way to go and give us knowledge and open things up and so on, but it's slowly being squeezed down, and it won't take long, folks, and because there's, you know, all of this new control mechanisms that are put in place because of the Patriot Act and so on are going to go and constrict what we're doing with the internet.
Yeah.
Much the same way it happens over in China.
And we've thought about that here on this show, too.
We talk about that a lot. For example, last month, the FCC decided to announce that it may indeed begin to exert its control over the internet.
Yeah. And that, you know what, that is, we are smack dab right in the middle of that.
Yeah, Ghostly Talk itself can be affected by that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? What's wrong with it? Everybody's chatting, they're putting,
yeah,
sending emails, they're doing, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. But what they've done is they said, okay, somebody went and...
Those Darren Ghostly talk guys are just getting the truth out there, and we can't have that.
Close. But no, somebody went and flew planes into some buildings and caused just insurmountable and unconscionable damage and death and destruction.
Uh-huh.
So what we're going to do, we're going to use that as a lever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take control.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they might have sent a few emails back and forth or a few instant messages in planning that, but that was done in dark alleys and back rooms.
Absolutely.
For the most part. It wasn't done over the internet for the most part.
I don't think they were planning this on Yahoo Messenger.
Right, they weren't planning it on Yahoo Messenger. They weren't planning it via email.
I don't think they were in an IRC chat room, like, Taliban.
Taliban.
I don't think that's what was going on. It couldn't have been going on.
Right. And but the media people want the control,
yeah,
and they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
And that's really got us up in arms here, too.
They're going to start taxing it, see?
Yep.
There's now, there's a few billion dollars worth of sales that are taking place here, and we haven't taken any sales tax on that. And so that's going to come next. So in order to do the sales tax, they're going to have to go and monitor all these transactions. I get a report every now and then, and you can get it for free, and it lists all the places where you have credit and the places where you're exposed for identity theft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
They know up to the moment how much you've charged on which credit cards. They know the exact balance on your credit cards, and these are credit cards you may not have used for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're still listed. It's amazing. I saw that report and it was like, oh my God, they know everything I'm doing.
Well, there's one thing that was kind of interesting. We talked about this off the air last week, or a couple weeks ago we discussed this. I was telling you guys about the whole Janet Jackson thing.
Right.
All right, with the TiVo, that little toy, whatever. I don't even know what the hell the thing does, tell you the truth.
The TiVo records live broadcast.
Okay, live broadcast. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're aware of what happened with Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we all got a kick out of that one. But TiVo reported it was some astronomical number of people that they said, hey, look, we got this really cool number to show you. It was like something like in the billions or something like that. Like a couple billion people were able to actually they were able to pinpoint that, like that 13 seconds where that happened. They were like rewound it, played it, rewound it, played it, rewound it, played it, like X amount of times, right? And we're all like, ha, ha, ha. It was really funny, right?
Until you
think about it for a second and go, hey, how the hell did you know that?
How did TiVo know that? Because it's supposed to be on your local TiVo unit,
yeah,
not calling home and telling them what you're watching.
Exactly.
But you know what? Somehow they're finding out.
Somehow they're finding out, and they know they have numbers to show us this. They published it. What's going on here?
So they're tracking your finances, and they're tracking what you do on your couch. Yep. With your
So that gets back to the case that's made here in Decibel, that there is a shadow government.
Yep.
Okay? And, I don't blame the elected officials and the top people in government, because as far as I can tell, not all of them know what's going on. They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a black budget that accounts for probably $80 to $100 billion a year out of our government finances at the federal level. And that means if it's a black budget, that means it doesn't have any congressional oversight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been going on for 20-30 years, and so there's a huge amount of money that flows into various organizations, and it's unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
What's being done with that money?
Exactly. We actually I hate to bring him up again, but we actually have a set of videos that was sent to us by a friend of ours, Bill Nell, who actually on one of the videos has a gentleman that he come in contact with by the name of Phil Schneider, who talks about the black budget directly. And he was telling people what they were using this money on. And
mm-hmm.
We talked about it a little bit.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
He was actually a man who specialized in underground bases. He was a geologist. And they brought him out there to look at the rocks and make sure it could be done. And, yeah, he talked exactly about what you're talking about, Mark, about where this money was
going.
There's
underground bases in Decibel. I didn't come up with these ideas just out of thin air.
No.
Okay. These are ideas that are probably pretty close to the damn truth.
Phil Sanders says there's 131 underground bases around the planet. Probably one under the haunted basement studio right now as we're speaking.
Well, I think it's actually under I-696.
And we've mentioned that too.
Yeah.
But there are these bases under there, and that's where the black budget, they pay for that.
Yeah. Why do they have the bases underground?
Obviously, they don't want us to see what's going on
Keep it out of sight.
Keep it out of sight,
out of mind.
Exactly.
That's it, exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, they can do some very sophisticated things underground, and there are people that work there, and they do some things that are reportedly not very nice under there.
Oh, definitely. Well, the Montauk base in the caves.
Yeah.
I mean, what they did in Montauk was just
What Bill said he saw were... He said, I went down here and saw bunks, hundreds of bunks. Little bunks. I mean, I'm not talking like, you know, four-star Hilton bunks here. I'm talking about wooden bunks with like a rock for a pillow. These aren't very comfortable to sleep on.
Yep.
What are you doing? What are you putting down here? Obviously, you're putting living things down here.
Yeah. People down there because they need to sleep on these bunks.
Yeah. What's going on? Why do all these people need to be underground?
Yeah.
Why do they need to be here? What's going on? Can you please tell us this? And that is the black budget right there. At its work, our tax dollars sliding right into that.
Another thing that black budget has been used for is it has taken and reverse engineered the technologies from the crashes of the UFO craft. And that's been going on, you know, since Roswell time, if not before.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have pretty good evidence that, for instance, Germany, before the Second World War, had a crashed UFO. And that's where some of their, you know, Germany had pretty good technology. They came real close to going and, you know, coming up with very workable rockets. I mean, they had some of that, but much more precisely aimed, that type of thing. And that was all probably due to the UFO crash that had taken place. And they had gone in there and reverse engineered some of that.
You know what? And that's interesting you brought that up, because on the website, and I'm just thinking about this, I've watched it actually. If you go to para-normal.com, there's a website out there called, and these people do a great job on this site, by the way, too.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much media up there. They actually have a whole section of videos that you can download and watch in Real Player, I think. And there is a video in there on what you're talking about, Mark.
Yep.
There's a video on crashed UFOs in Germany.
Yep.
And these ideas, because Germans have always been at the top of the heap, if you ask me, as far as engineering goes. They've always engineered wonderful things.
Just think for a moment what happened there at Roswell. It didn't take them very long after that happened to have a whole contingent of military people come in and scrub that site.
Mm-hmm.
They came in, they picked up every little piece of scrap, everything.
So,
they did that overnight. It's like, hey, maybe they did that before. Maybe this isn't the first time. Maybe they were all organized. So as soon as they found out about it, it was like, okay, you know, order the troops in, and here we go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, there was another crash that took place within 6 months of Roswell over at Aztec, New Mexico, and the same thing happened there. Now, that one did not make the papers, and so the evidence is a little bit more flimsy, but it's still, we're all pretty sure that there was another crash that took place in Aztec.
Mm, God.
And there's been 24 of these crashes.
Well, it takes practice to get that good.
Yeah. To be able to clean up a site overnight like that, bam.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty well organized.
Absolutely.
So they had previously been organized and practiced at it.
I think so.
And they knew their jobs.
Jeez.
Well, then they take the stuff back to a central facility, and we think we know where that is, or was. It probably isn't there anymore.
Right.
And begin the reverse engineering process. So a number of the technologies, which we would like to think that we Earth humans invented, you know, we think we're pretty smart, technologies like lasers and integrated circuits and fiber optics, those things were all reverse engineered from the crashes like Roswell and these other crashes.
Do you think they have an actual spacecraft? I mean, one that works, or do you think that it's a broken one that they can't figure out?
No, we have what's called an alien reproduction vehicle. We have testimony from a number of people that have come out of the military, and to the fact that these ARVs do exist, and what these are craft, like I described in Decimal,
mm-hmm.
do exist. They are flying. All right, they've been observed. I mean, when you see a craft flying across the sky and it's being escorted by two fighters,
yep.
mm-hmm.
you know that that probably isn't something that's extraterrestrial.
Oh,
and we have testimony from people that have seen that kind of thing happen.
Yeah, there's all kinds. You know, there's this craft that people can't identify being escorted by like F-16s or whatever they are, and they're being observed and tested.
And, what I'm being told at this point in time is that probably over 80% of all of the sightings in this country are probably sightings of alien reproduction vehicles. Over 80%.
Wow. Hey, Will, do we have a short, like, 2-minute break or a 1-minute
break? Sure, let's do it.
The shortest break.
Let's take a quick look. Yeah.
Yeah, we have we do. We have a short break. I do want to take a short break.
I'm going to lose my voice. We keep going.
Yeah.
I'm just
getting more ice because this is fascinating. We missed one of them.
Yeah,
so let's take the fastest break we have. And we'll be back with more with Mark Kimmel, author Mark Kimmel of Trillion and Decimal, UFO-truth.com.
Mm-hmm.
In a few minutes.
Right back.
We'll be right back.
Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aavp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken
Dialing. Just when you thought it was safe, make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
www.drunkendialing.com. Nothing feels better. Nothing feels better sometimes, especially on these old ears with these headphones on, than a nice deep crunch like that.
A deep crunch.
That crunch just feels great sometimes. I mean, we're wearing headphones, so we got the full hi-fi coming through here. And it's
right.
Like, you know, I just love, I'm unfortunately, you know, on the internet, 16K.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like garbage, but that's just, this is warm to the ears. It feels good.
So, Yeah, we took the fastest break possible. Fastest one in our list of breaks, because we want to get back to more with author and author Mark Kimmel about Trillion Decimal and UFOs and the planet and evidently energy and cars and
it all ties together. It really does.
Yeah, it all ties together. I do want to mention his website again, UFO-Truth, TRUTH.com. He's got news articles, recent news articles about UFOs and the different things that the people see in the sky, and then the retractions and the cover-ups and the whole gamut.
Yeah, yeah.
He keeps a list there of all the news, the recent happenings. So UFO-truth.com for that, and you can keep up to the latest.
Yeah.
And it's all happening. I mean, it happens sometimes daily. Yeah. You know. So it's.
Oh, and then if anybody wants to do research, there's over a 500-page archive of articles going back 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
Of all the stuff that has happened on a daily basis, we just archive it.
Mm-hmm. So you can look at it over time too, and see what
this day in history. You know, same thing.
Yeah,
go back and look, see what's going on. What was going on 3 years? Some people have these things in their life, like they. Oh, 2 years ago, I remember. You know, as radio, you know, paranormal internet talk show stars.
Paranormal?
No, it's host. When it comes up, we talk to people that know the show, or we tell people what we do. They always say, you know, about 2 years ago, or in this, you know, this month or whatever, I remember this weird thing happened to me, man. I'll tell you about it.
And if you want to know about it, it'll be at UFO-truth.com.
Check it out. See if it correlates. There might be something there for you to look at.
Yeah.
Very important.
And then you can also get, you know, this free extraterrestrial identification kit, which is kind of a kick, because we know that there's over 57 different species of extraterrestrials that have come to this planet.
57?
Kind of.
That's the number that comes out of the military. 57 different brands.
57 different species.
Different species, yeah. And so some of them look like us. And some don't. Now, if you go there also, you can see this extraterrestrial timeline, which I have to apologize is not working, and I just sent a message to my webmaster saying, what's going on here? But anyway, go there, don't give up, because that shows not only have they been coming here, but they've been interacting with us for about 500,000 years. And when I say interacting, I mean that they have influenced our genetic makeup. They have influenced who we are. So each of us has a little bit of ET inside them.
And that's been theorized. I've heard that before.
I've heard that.
Try that on for size. I mean, after you stop and think about that, then you understand what they're doing here is that they feel a little bit responsible for us in that they are, like, related. They're family.
Mm-hmm.
So another piece of this puzzle, and you know, as I go down this road, you keep scratching, you keep digging, and the more you dig, the more you find out, and then the more you find out, you don't know, because the picture keeps getting more and more complex. But I would not have admitted to this maybe a couple of years ago, but now I have done enough investigation that I'm convinced. They have been here. They've been mucking around with us. And when I say mucking around, I'm not quite sure what's going on. I don't think anybody does, because I wasn't there, okay? But we're fairly sure that extraterrestrials have been here, and more than one species. It's not just one. But more than one species has been here. They have influenced our genetic makeup. That's why there's different races here on Earth, is that different ones have interacted with different species here, different races. And so we're the end product of, we've got some evolution going on, but we also have some off-planet visitors that have been in here mating with us, if you will, influencing our genetics for better or for worse.
And I'm sure of 57 different races, you say that some like us and some don't like us. I'm sure there's an agenda for each one, too.
Yeah, no, what I said is some are like us, and that they look exactly like us.
Okay.
I mean, they, you know, these characters in Decimal and Trillion, when I wrote the books, I didn't realize how much they were like us. books are there, and it's kind of like, oh, all this stuff is coming true, and I didn't know it, so where did I get it all from? But I have found out that, yes, there are several races of extraterrestrials, that they could be walking down the street or sitting next to you in an airplane, and you would not know.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask you. Is like, okay, so how do they? What kind of disguises do they wear? What kind of, you know, but no, I mean, we've thought about that too. Like, I mean, really, could they be any? Could there be certain species, for example, that are really like, you know, lizard people running around? I mean, I'm sure if we're walking down to go to, like, you know, the drugstore, and a lizard guy walks by you, you're going to look twice.
Yeah, you know that, right?
Okay, this is a little weird. I mean, it's not Halloween. Okay, so what's happening here? But a lot of these, I mean, like you're saying, there's some of these that are, they look, you wouldn't even be able to tell any different.
That's right. They are, well, the reason they look like us is because they're family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, yes, there are some that don't look like us at all. All right, there's mm-hmm. the grays, which don't look like us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of controversy as to exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the, the reptilians and the insectoids and all this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't look like us because they come from a planet that has different atmosphere, different environment, that
mm-hmm.
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they adapted to the environment of their planet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, I mean, that happens. I mean, I've read... One of the greatest examples I've ever seen is from a book I completely forgot the title of, but I mean it was a great example of, like, you know, how your atmosphere and your environment affects you. Is that there was a planet? God, I wish I could cite this. Somebody's going to be emailing me this weekend probably, but there was a planet of midgets,
mm-hmm.
little stocky, really strong little midget people, real short, you know, like maybe up to our waist level. And the reason for that is because the gravitational pull on the planet was so much stronger.
Ah, I see.
That it made them shorter. It just kind of squished them down into the planet.
So in their own development cycle, they adapted to that
by
being shorter and stronger. Yeah.
Exactly. They adapted.
Well, a little
teaser. We've got the ones that came from Mars who are quite a bit taller.
Yeah, because
right.
gravity's a lot. I mean, the gravity.
How do we know about some of this? Well,
mm-hmm.
the reason we know about some of this is that there are skeletons that have been unearthed on this planet, all right, skeletons
mm-hmm.
that are of these different species. Now, it's interesting, and this explains, you know, this gets into why it is that we really don't know the whole story, because these skeletons get unearthed, and now, you can find them in Brazil, because
mm-hmm.
they're in a museum there,
mm-hmm.
and you can find them in some of the other countries around the world. And these skeletons are present. Are there any of them in the museums here in the United States? Sure, but they're in the basement.
Right, hidden from view, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a little teaser, Ryan Drake gets in Decimal.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Drake gets to meet a non-human looking alien.
Okay.
Right in the first couple of hundred pages.
Uh huh.
Yep. So and it shocks him.
Well, I think it would shock any of us.
Even though he knew all this stuff, you know, and this is in the story, you know, in the storyline of Train and Decimal,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, he knew all this stuff about aliens and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and he'd gotten, you know, to know a couple aliens, and then he met a non-human looking alien,
mm-hmm.
and he was shocked. Even then, even knowing what he knew,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, it psychologically it does.
I have to tell you, it makes a big impression on you.
Yeah,
I think it would.
It makes a big impression. You don't forget that one real easy.
Scott L. meet Mothar. Mothar meet Scott L. I mean, I'm going to go, hi. How do you shake? I wouldn't even know how to, like...
Is that an antenna
yeah,
or
is that,
I don't
that,
know.
Yeah, is that going to offend you if I do... Hi, if I wave my hand, I might mean, like, you know, to you in
right.
another place. I don't know. I mean, just that alone right there. I mean, we have those issues with people on this planet. There's ideas and cultural differences that we neglect sometimes.
And then if you meet somebody
from a different planet,
an animated living creature from not here,
take that impression times 20.
Yeah, you have to, like, multiply it by a magnitude. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's
first time you see a UFO. I mean, once you see a UFO and you know that is something that doesn't belong there,
uh-huh.
it makes a big impression on you.
It's going to change your life.
Make a big impression on you, then you're probably asleep, okay?
Well, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see one of these things hanging there, or you see it coming out of the side of the mountain, or you see it, you know, coming out of the water or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, oh my God, this stuff is real.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, it just, it does something to your mind. It really does. And one of the reasons this is happening all over the planet is they are trying, by exposing, you know, these craft to us, to get us to shake up a little bit and to wake up. I mean,
that's the reason for them.
But again, though, I don't know, like, what does it take? I mean, what's it going to take, even from them? I mean, the energy crisis, again, mm-hmm. had to have been, like, one of the largest shots across the bow of, hey, you guys, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oil is only so... is only can be used so much, but, you know, mm-hmm. hydrocarbons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I keep coming back. I keep asking the question of you guys. Are we dumb enough? Are we asleep enough that we're doing this all to ourselves? Or is there some outside influence that's coaching us the wrong direction?
Well, you know, oh, man. That would actually be really, really scary.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That would be something, you know, very Wes Craven-ish, because that would be scary. That would, if we are really nothing but mind-numbed puppets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like to think of myself as an independent thinker, but if,
I think we all like to think of ourselves as intelligent people, too.
Right.
Well, I think we are.
But I can see how
that
easy.
Doesn't mean that we are not capable of being influenced by a much more intelligent,
malevolent, obviously.
Well, or somebody with their own agenda.
Yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Wow.
I never even thought of it that way. I mean, I'm sure, I think I have, but I never thought of
it. Well,
that.
What's interesting is, independently, mm-hmm. Myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new book coming out after the first of the year that deals with this.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay.
I absolutely can't wait.
Once you go and get your mind around this, and the first time you hear it, it's like, no, I can't go there.
Well, this is something straight out of Star Wars.
Well, that's right.
It's
yeah.
like, this is, we've been bred, like, well, I mean, and
except
I love them.
Not blatant like Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's mind control.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and I think maybe in thinking about it now, even though I love Star Wars, we all love Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, Star Wars.
Maybe there was a reason for that movie, too. Hey, look, this is a fun story. We're going to enjoy it, but this isn't real. This don't happen. So don't even think about it.
Yet, maybe it's...
Maybe it is very real, but not
more real.
Like you just
not
said,
blatant,
Mark, not blatant like that, but it's going on under our noses.
Wow.
It's more like The Matrix.
I'm very uncomfortable with that thought, Mark.
Isn't that make you uncomfortable?
Yes.
I got this. I finally owned up to this 2 or 3 months ago.
Man.
It's scary.
It's very scary.
I mean, there's no proof.
Well, you know, I mean, I hate to jump back to it again, but Phil Schneider talks about this, too.
Why?
He talks about these things, like, you know, these underground bases.
Makes
and,
sense.
And, you know, they're all part of the grand plan that, look, okay, what he's saying is that the humans, the people in power of our people here on this planet, they've made deals with some of these races, some of these species of alien.
Yeah.
They've made deals in return for technology. Let's think about this for again. You know, for,
mm-hmm.
we've talked about this already.
And the technology is here.
The technology is here. They've made deals in return for technology. Well, and for what he's talking about with that is completely insane. That these some of these races actually get glandular secretions.
Mm-hmm.
That to some of these races is like cocaine to them. It's like,
well, yeah,
it's,
no,
it's like great.
I can't go there.
I know. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm throwing it out there, but I'm saying it ties in the idea.
I think that there may have been some deals cut,
mm-hmm.
okay, somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were overt deals.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I don't think they were visible deal handshake kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a more subtle influence than that.
Okay.
I think this is non-physical influence from outside.
They just, I mean,
and, you know,
hit him with the death ray, and there you go.
Well, you
and
know,
frankly, that's creepier to me.
Well, yeah, it is.
Because I have to say, even I'm still hung up on the you know Earth as a race of puppet, or Earth is a puppet container. A puppet
I thought The Godfather was bad, you know.
Well, that was pretty bad. But no, this is the thing is you're talking. It's about the only thing that can weigh in on that, because you're talking a bunch of independent thinkers, people who can think independently and have free will and that kind of thing. And then why would even when they get together as a society, why would they allow all this stuff to happen to them?
Continue to happen.
Continue for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Because the irrationality, it astounds me every day.
It is irrational.
Some of the things that I see happen around us.
Are we treating each other any better than we did 2,000 years ago? Not really.
No, it don't seem to be.
In fact, our weapons have gotten a little bit, you know, more lethal. And the interesting thing is that a couple thousand years ago, you know, you had to look the guy in the face as you were stabbing him.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you could pull a missile from several miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in a bunker, you push a big red button, you're done.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm going to go to the coffee break room now. Yeah, because...
But that's what has me hung up here, is that it is this irrationality that seems.
So think about this, and we'll visit, you know, another time about this, because this is an important concept, that the environment of what we're doing to each other environmentally, what we do to each other in terms of war and poverty and disease and all these other things, are we really capable of doing this to ourselves, or is there some sort of a larger influence at play here? And if there's a larger influence at play, I mean, it just... It really makes you sit back and think.
See, and I had always,
shudder.
For some reason, I had always thought of it as, you know, they say that, you know, there's all these beautiful creatures on the earth and everything like that, and then there's like the giraffe, who's just hilarious looking.
They're beautiful in their own way,
and I know it's all functional and everything, but they said, like, you know, that if a committee got together, you know, independently, like, you know, six people can come up with, you know, gorgeous drawings of beautiful, functional creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you get a committee of people together, right, and then they say, well, it's got to have, you know, this, and it's got to be able to do that, so we need a long neck, we need this, we need that, and, like, little nubs for horns. And it's like, it's just like, that would be, like, something a committee would put together, because it needed so many things that all went in, and they stirred up the pot, and that's what came out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always thought it was, like, a societal thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as you get a bunch of people together, boom, they start making, you know, really weird sounding decisions.
Yeah.
Whereas independently, they probably wouldn't have done
that. We've created these barriers and these.
That's a piece of it. That's a piece of it. That happens. But over and above that, you know, once you design a really ugly animal with the committee, you don't keep doing it.
Right. You decide, okay, that's enough.
That wasn't a good idea. Let's try something else.
Right.
We keep doing it
over and over again.
Okay,
I agree.
And it's like we've been doing it for a few thousand years, and it doesn't get any better.
And it's a shuddering thought.
Is there an invisible barrier? Is there a wall? Something we can't get past?
Yeah, well, and result
for
of that,
some mind control kind of reason. Or
and result of that, something has to give too.
Something
has to give.
The Earth can't. Can't do it much longer.
My concern, though, now is how far have we taken it so far? Are we so far into this that we can't even get ourselves out of this trouble? Have we been programmed ourselves, whatever way it might be, to the point of oblivion where there's no turning back? We cannot save ourselves. That's the shuddering thought right there, too.
There are people who say that we can't.
That is one that, no, we won't know. We won't know whether or not we can pull it back out.
No, none of us can see the future. None of us can, but we can think, though. That's the most, I mean, and we can talk about these things too, like we're doing tonight, and hopefully turn a few people and go, hey man, those are some ideas that I really need to address. I mean, I've always thought, like, okay, maybe what if there's some grandfather figure that steps over us, not God, but something that does pull the strings, and maybe they don't have the best of intentions for us. Maybe this isn't the president's fault. Maybe it isn't his fault in the grand scheme of things. In the short term, well, yeah, you've got to point the finger somewhere. Let's point it at the president. It's always the top of the heap.
Maybe he's just one of the boys that's playing part of the system.
Well, yeah, and that's all I've been saying that for a while. But, you know, Yeah, good old really? Network stuff. Fun.
2 minutes left.
We should.
Mark
we need another. We need another like 2 days.
I know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
When your new book comes out, we want to talk
open
to
up,
again.
You know, all we've done tonight is open up the whole level of inquiry to another level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is another level right here. From the last time we had you on, I mean, we've taken it and we just pushed it up. Now we're on the second floor.
Well, it's just like his book series. You know, it starts with Trillion, lays the groundwork, and then Decimal just like, wham!
Mm-hmm.
You know, amazing stuff.
It's amazing and it's scary. It's scary.
Yeah.
Decimal, you really got to get into Decimal and understand that what's in Decimal is pretty true, all the way through.
Well, it is, because everything that you talk about in there, we've studied it already. We've talked to Created Resources on this. We've done this. We've seen we've read the other books on this stuff. We've seen the videos. We've talked to these people directly, and yeah, then we sit down and read Decimal, and we're like, yeah, I've seen that. I've talked.
It happens.
We talked.
It happens. It all happens and is happening now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this whole irrationality
keeps
too.
Happening.
The whole irrationality of this country, for example, just for one little piece of the world, right? It always astounds me every day that I walk around going, what are you doing? Common sense dictates something like this. We know that the result that we want to have, but you're doing the exact opposite, and you know you're doing the exact opposite.
If you
want
to keep getting what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. Speaking of keeping on, we do have to make way for W Paranormal. So, Mark, what's on the agenda for you? Book signing tours? I know the
I'm doing a talk at Fort Lauderdale in January, one in New York City in January, one in Denver in February, and you know, I'm trying to do 2 speeches a month. That people visit the website, they can figure out where I'm going to be, and they can come listen to me.
When are you coming to Detroit?
I don't have anything planned. If you want to put something together, we'll do it.
Well, we can work on that.
Okay,
why
let's
not?
Do.
We can work on that. We have a few friends around here, thankfully, now because of these shows. We might be able to work on something for you. But regardless, we're going to have to get you back on the show very soon.
Yeah.
If you do have another, I mean, if this new book that's coming out, we want to talk about that too for sure, Mark.
Okay, and
great.
One final thought is, let's not get down on ourselves, because we really can turn this around.
Good.
Excellent.
That's good to hear too. It really is.
It's good to have, to be able to know that, hey, we do still have free will and
we can. As angry as we get, as angry as I get every day, I still think that people are good. Most
people are basically good.
People are good.
I think so.
There's a lot of great people out there, and it's like, as angry as I get at that moron on the freeway who flipped me off or whatever, that guy probably does in his heart. He's a decent guy. He's a good person. And that's what keeps me from not killing people. You know, that's the idea, though, is that's what people need to think more about, too, as opposed to taking vengeance on every little thing that guy cut me off. I got to run him off the road now. I mean, this whole idea of vengeance, and that's really one of the big problems we have.
Let's restate the golden rule again. You know, I think, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And if you live like that, it would be such a different place.
It would be a very different
place. So,
Mark, can you hang on the line for a second, please?
I can.
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank author Mark Kimmel, who wrote Trillion.
These are the shows
Decimal.
That make coming here.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Oh, definitely.
They are, because, I mean, I didn't know what to expect coming here today, but I knew it was going to be something. I was going to walk out
here. I knew it was
going
to be really cool.
I was going to walk out of here and I'm excited now. Now I'm thinking again. This is good, and this is what keeps me going. This is what keeps us all going here. Guys, you got to listen to this show over and over again. That's why we're on the Internet, so you can archive it and listen to it over and over again.
And speaking of listening, keep listening to Pioneer at pioneer.rollo.net, because coming up next is W Paranormal.
Our boys.
With our boys out in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or near there. I don't know. And
they're on the other side of
the state. In Grand Rapids. They're out west from here. And so, keep your ears peeled for W Paranormal, and keep your ears peeled to pioneer.rollo.net, because that's where a lot of cool stuff is going on all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we, of course, are Ghostly Talk, www.ghostlytalk.com. Our guest has been Mark Kimmel of UFO-Truth, TRUTH.com, and his website is permanently linked on the front page of ghostlytalk.com.
Yep.
So if you ever forget it, just go to Ghostly Talk. There you go. You'll be able to get to UFO Truth and read up on the latest UFO news.
Oh, yeah.
With that,
you are flying.
I'm
loving it.
That's because Rob,
next week World ITC.
Yes,
that's gonna be big.
So
be big.
7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you next week. With that, I have been Doug,
and I have been Scott L.
and this has been
Ghostly Talk. Thank you. See you next week.
Have a good week.